Good morning and welcome to the highlight. Reel.
Hello. Welcome to the highlight reel. This is David Rostosky coming at you from the LA area right now. I'm on the West Coast. A piece of me can't even believe it. I'm sitting in a car that Miriam and I just bought. We found it in the San Diego area for a wonderful price, literally exactly what Miriam had pulled through using her intuition. And we planned to spend almost double, but yeah, just everything worked out almost exactly to what Miriam and I were feeling before we came on this trip. Even almost down to some of the energetic felt senses of things that we would run into and challenges that we might face. All of it has been essentially what we have been feeling. And there's this deep sense of validation that comes with that of, okay, this whole idea of following the energy and following our soul's deepest truth and following our knowing, it's not just an idea, it's not just a concept, it's a reality. And yes, we've seen it time and time again in kind of our past, and yes, we've seen it in other individuals' lives, and it continues to ring true, but there's nothing like taking a huge leap of faith again, flying multiple thousands of miles to the West Coast to land in a city where we don't have a car, we don't have a place, all we have is 2 days of a hotel, and to have everything fall into place. It's just continual confirmation over and over and over and over again. Things are challenging in so many ways and have been challenging, but at the same time, all of the challenges have been growth experiences, and all of the challenges have been almost tests of the pieces of us that haven't trusted our intuition or didn't trust our intuition. Like all of those little remnants were getting scraped up to bring to the forefront so that we could essentially continue to lean in and understand and further comprehend all of the things that have been coming through from Bergiel and understand to a deeper extent the second paradigm, what that even means and what that looks like in the daily intricacies. And I just think there's nothing like a high stress, very highly orchestrated few days. There's nothing like that for really refining and understanding the concepts, for really refining and understanding soul truth and how that works very practically. Because as I've found other times in my life, when I have an idea or when I have a concept of reality that doesn't actually jive with reality, reality will show me how it's wrong. It's happened time and time again. When I was holding deeply onto being an atheist, when I was holding deeply onto this idea that life was entirely emergent from my biology, when I was holding onto this idea that God couldn't exist because I could explain everything, I started to have unexplainable experiences that broke that idea. I remember being at an event and one of the guys on stage said, ideas break, reality doesn't. And it was in a totally different context. It was about essentially the geopolitical scene. It was about the future of our economy and the future of civilization. But I'll never forget that phrase. Never forget it. Ideas break, but reality doesn't. So I think I'm in a phase in my life right now where almost the exact opposite is happening, where essentially my ideas of reality, where these concepts of reality that have been coming through from a channeled source aren't breaking, where they are being reinforced and reaffirmed and even further specified. And I think as that happens, a piece of me is relieved and a piece of me is like, whoa, there's a lot of almost responsibility here. There's a lot of possibility here to impact a lot of people. There's a lot of possibility here to share these understandings to an even broader scale and to really allow that to happen, because all of my internal pieces that are like, oh, I really want to make sure this is absolutely perfect and all fine and dandy before I go and do anything, like all of those pieces of me are starting to be confronted, because those ideas are breaking, because the reality is that these channeled messages and the articulations and my current understanding is enough. And Miriam's current understanding and us working together is enough to get us halfway around the complete distance of the country with not a lot of plan and have everything continue to fall into place. I think recognizing this, seeing this and feeling this is as equally exciting and validating as it is confronting, because there's this right deeper and deeper layers of, oh, like it's time to continue to share. It's time to continue to share. We're staying with our friend Crystal Brandt, and she has on her mirror something like intuition, or following our intuition is a revolution. And I was like, oh, that's so good. Like I love a little note she has to herself around her house, but I really, really appreciated that, because following our intuition, following the energy, as Miriam and I call it, it's all the same thing. We all use different words to describe the same phenomena, but following our intuition, following the energy, following our soul, following God's path, even some could say, following and using our spiritual access and understanding and intuition is a revolution, because it is not the current consensus. And it works surprisingly well, holds up surprisingly well to not just ideation and kind of critical thinking, but to the continual process of life. It continues to check out in life itself. And I think that's what I'm most fascinated with by this journey, is that we took a big leap of faith in trusting ourselves and trusting what we believe, that even though we weren't 100% sure about logistics, we felt the time was now to go, and we're feeling everything fall into place. And the pieces of us that want to hold on, the pieces of us that want to stay in San Diego longer because it's comfortable and because we know people there and because we could rebuild a life there, those pieces of us, as we allowed some of those pieces to play out, and we stayed maybe, I don't know, 12 to 24 hours longer than I think we not should have, but could have, we started to feel things like reality essentially start to push back. And there's just this very, very consistent flow that as we are trusting our intuition, as we are leaning in, everything is going dialed, like clockwork. Like traffic is molding around us. Shopping lines open up where we go and get our things. And there's long lines and somebody goes, oh, hey, we'll take the next person down here. And we end up being that person. It's the little things in life and the continual confirmation of being in that flow that just continue to show up. And the more that I recognize that as a legitimate thing, and the more I'm able to spot it, the more I'm also recognizing the times where I'm not in that flow and where it's reality is literally pushing back on me. And it's almost this sense of, hey, there was a series of events, and there was a path that was very in the flow and orchestrated for you that was available. And if you used your intuition, you would have dialed that in. But instead, you're kind of facing this clunky reality. Like, you'll get out of it. Just follow the next opening into that, right? There is this very, very large sense that everything is orchestrated and that there are countless beings that are helping us to move pieces in this reality, and that we're all working together as this larger collective human body. And it's in these realizations and in the continual confirmation of these ideas that, yeah, I just can't help but rejoice that everything's falling together. Like, I'm understanding these ideas more. And I think it's almost further confirmation of that, of the ideas, you know, like, oh, not only am I seeing this flow in my day-to-day life, but I'm also seeing this flow in the concepts, and all of the concepts are clicking together. The things that I'm reading, the things I'm digesting, the things I'm sitting with, the emotions I'm processing, the thoughts that I'm sitting with, and the paradoxes that I'm sitting with, coming to resolution with, they're all pointing towards these same things too. And they're all beginning to resolve around these same things too, that this idea of the second paradigm, this reality context that has come through from Bergayel, from the Ascension Manual for Planet Earth, and for the Ascension Manual for Planet Earth. All of these ideas are holding up in reality. They're holding up in our day-to-day life. And I think that's something to celebrate. And that's also, and you can hear it in my voice, there are times where that lands and then I go, and I take it, it's like this like deep breath of like almost, yeah, just like having to expand my being and to be with more of that, because there's pieces of me that feel like this ancient, very grounded, capable leader. And I show up like that consistently on my calls and with the people that Miriam and I are working with and on Bergale sessions and all the things. You know, there's the piece of me that shows up. And then there's the young version of me, the like scared 25-year-old that's like, whoa, like I'm relatively new to this. I really want to check myself. I really want to make sure that like everything's precise. I really want to make sure that everything's dialed, that I'm not getting ahead of myself, that I'm not overstepping my bounds in reality, that I want to just continue to check myself. You know, there's that piece of me. So I think I just continue to take these deep breaths and continue to grow into this understanding that lots of these concepts continue to check out, that we have our car, I'm sitting in a new one, and we're staying with our friend Crystal, we have beautiful meals, we're landing, we're grounding, we have twice the amount of money than I thought we did. So funny. I was freaking out because everything feels like it's moving so fast. And I checked and I kind of added together all like our cash and our accounts, because we had to pull out so much money to get the car because we overestimated. And it's funny the way that my brain wants to freak out, even though everything's like more perfect than I could write it. If I was writing a fictional story about the perfect trip to the West Coast, it's so dialed and so good and so easy that I'm feeling these pieces of me kind of freak out and integrate how much more smooth everything's actually gone than I expected, I guess. It's funny. So, so funny. So that's kind of an update from me. Thanks for listening to just my general life and my own integrations of these, of where I am right now in all of this and in this journey. I think this podcast is so fascinating because for me, it's a space where I get to, one, talk some of this stuff out, but it's also a continual documentation of my entire journey and of Miriam and I's entire journey from the beginning. And, you know, there's pieces of me that want to posture really hard, big pieces of me that want to posture and that want to say that and just talk about the perfection of it all. But I know that when I look back later, it won't actually be a journey if I'm posturing. It'll just be this consistent baseline of goodness that at some point was fake and at some point was real. And I don't want that. I want a legitimate journey documented from beginning to end, very real, very transparent, that also is overlaid with a unfolding of information that all builds on the last concepts, that continues to unfold as I learn it and as it comes through for me. Because I think there's something substantial about having all of these concepts come through, right? Let's say last week's concepts around like the little brother paths, to then feel that and live that in my own life and to feel all the little brother paths we could have taken to stay in California, to get a more expensive car that was slightly out of the flow that felt like we should have done it because we were panicking. Like there's all of these little paths that we could have taken and it was so subtle. To then have that integrate into my life and then to be able to talk about it and to be able to kind of just continue to give updates on my life and where things are at. There's this whole thing is multi-layered and I'm appreciating that and I'm seeing that more and more. And I just want to continue to be as transparent as possible because, you know, there's the logical reason of like, oh, it builds trust like with you, the listener. But then there's the like, there's no other way. This is what the energy is calling me to do, is to be very open and transparent about my challenges, about my perspectives, about sometimes I am not very clearly articulated with where I am in life. And I think that's also a piece of the whole journey. You know, like sometimes I talk more abstractly and other times I talk about, I share stories and it's all a piece of it. It's all a piece of where I'm at. And where I'm at is also a reflection of the continual unfoldment of this information. And I think that's so cool. So, so, so cool. So that was, right, this chapter one of today. And now I want to drop into kind of chapter two of this, which is Bergiel continuing to unfold the next iteration of this throughout, using my own experiences and using what's here and what's present for all of us, for the larger collective listening to this. What's here and present for us articulated through Bergiel, right, to bring in the next piece that I'll be integrating for the next however many days. So with that, let's dive in. The next voice you hear will be Bergiel's. All right, David. Hello. It is a pleasure, as always, to be here transmitting. And to you, the listener, thank you for being here. We love, first of all, that David was able to begin to understand and articulate that this Highlight Reel podcast is so much more than us just giving a collective update and then us then, you know, refining those ideas later or bringing a new collective update. That this is a journey. This is a journey of a continually unfolding context for reality. And this is also a journey for David in his own individual life. Now, to be able to differentiate between what is David's path and what is a piece of the message may be important. And to have a bit of a distinct gap in between that, right? David talks about his path and then we come in, we deliver a message. It's important to have that break and not just entirely blend together, but to have both pieces is extremely, extremely helpful for what we're doing here. And in that, there's a deeper reaffirming of what it is that we're doing here, which is to inform the human experience. So in that, can you see how it'd be important to be able to have aspects of the human experience in that informing process? Yes, we can tell stories of individuals or share about many individuals and share stories about that. But there is a very profound consistency and a very multi-layered message that becomes possible when a single individual, David, right, becomes a case study for the continual unfolding of these messages from us, other civilizations that are communicating through etheric non-local means. There's a very profound depth that can come to a message when it is interwoven through a single individual's continually unfolding story. And in that, this podcast continues to unfold into not only a place where we share our public-facing messages, but also a place where David's story and Miriam's story as well continue to unfold in real time. This isn't polished. In many ways, David had no idea what we were going to talk about until 10 or 15 minutes before. He was coming down the elevator, coming into the parking garage, and we began to drop in some pings, began to feel the energy of this, what we could call a divine appointment with all of us here. But really, what is here and what is present is not just to talk about these ideas landing and the perfection of David's understanding of all of this and your being able to listen to David's continual understanding of all of this progressing over time. But what is really here is a bit of refinement and continual reminder around pieces of the second paradigm. And we are here to continue to unfold this message of what this second paradigm is, looks like, and what a transition from a first paradigm struggle for survival or struggle for material or emotional desires being met or a process of self-acceptance or a education process to go from this first paradigm that is very much I-centric to then transition into a paradigm of working as a cell within a body, is working as an individual, a beautiful trifecta of a body, a soul, and an ego here, rooted, anchored, grounded, and plugged in to the totality of existence, and using that connection to the totality of existence to inform your every step. The transition from being a human being, as humanity has known it for quite some time, into being a fully awakened, anchored being. This is something we want to continue to articulate, continue to unfold. And now a piece of this, right, as we mentioned, is continuing to hear David's story and continuing to hear the stories of other individuals who are awakening. But there are also distinctions to be made. There's information to bring through. There are articulations to continue to articulate. And in this comes an opportunity for us to begin to pull from some of David's experiences past week, and to pull from some of the collective experience and some of the collective energetics, find trends, things where David's experiences are mapping over really well what's happening in the larger collective, then to be able to speak to that. In many ways, the defining moment of his trip was a moment where he felt all of the energetics of himself being in the flow in San Diego, being with friends, continuing to essentially live there as if he were living there before. When he was feeling all the energetics of what we could call that timeline pressing in on him, and Miriam was as well, they were feeling themselves beginning to get swept up, beginning to feel as though they were never going to go to Seattle, never going to continue up and onward. There was this sense and almost fear of being stuck. There was this sense and almost fear of not being able to find a car, of not being able to have the logistics fall into place, even though on a deep knowing level, they felt that it was true and easy and in many ways already done. Now, in this landscape, one of the defining moments of their time in San Diego was a burst of dedication, a fiery burst of dedication from David to Miriam, but really both of them, taking a stand for being in their own energy, taking a stand for trusting their truth over the truths or the energetic field even of everyone else around them. And in this is a deep, deep distinction. And it's not just isolation. This isn't what we're speaking to, although isolation is in some ways an important piece of this. It's not just retreating to a log cabin in order to find one's truth, but doing that while still engaged with life. Continuing to lean in to the day-to-day tasks, continuing to lean in with all that is here and that is present, but trusting that inner knowing and trusting one's inner truth over anything else, over anyone else, over what anyone else thinks or believes about one's path, what anyone thinks or believes about what you should be doing, what you should be thinking is possible, what you should be planning for or preparing for. There are many, many ideas of what is possible for certain things to happen on this planet, and there is soul truth, which sometimes is in alignment with that, and sometimes is on a much faster or a much slower timeline. Sometimes getting a specific educational degree takes 6 years. Other times it takes 3. And this is a very practical example, right? But this is the same with every timeline. sometimes moving across the country and driving up the coast takes months or years to prepare and to figure out logistics, and other times it takes weeks. Sometimes building a business from the ground up takes years, other times it takes months. There is a continual process of trusting yourself and your own timelines over everything else that ultimately allows you to be in your own flow, in your own truth, and actually expedites your own timeline. Because there are individuals who want to have things take 3 years when really they're on a 6-year timeline that end up pushing it to 7. Because they try to do things as if they were on a 3-year timeline. They try to do things faster and that actually ends up slowing them down. Then there are individuals who are on that 3-year path that it ends up taking them 4 because they try to model what other individuals are doing who are on a totally different timeline, totally different path, totally different set of circumstances. Because yes, you can categorize everything into health, into wealth, into relationships. But at the end of the day, you are very unique, very special. And your soul's truth about your own life and circumstances is unlike any other life or any other circumstance. Even when two individuals are doing the exact same thing, going to college, getting a specific job, driving up the coast, going on vacation, negotiating a certain deal, growing a business, whatever the thing may be, when there is slight variation in the circumstances, those two paths can't be compared. And the strategies for those two individuals are going to be, at the very least, subtly different. And so one of the defining moments for David and for Miriam was this idea of grounding back in their own reality and saying, no, we are cutting cords. We are coming back from the considerations of everyone else and from the energetic of everyone else to ourselves. And let's remember what we're doing here. Let's remember what we're doing in California. We are here for a logistic trip to be able to gather things from the storage unit, buy a car, and go up. And it was when they aligned with essentially what they were really doing there that everything came back in to flow, that their energy came back, that they no longer felt exhausted, they no longer felt anxious. They bought a car a few hours later, they packed up their things, and everything for the remainder of that day was like clockwork. They then got on the road that same day and are now here in Brea, California by Los Angeles. This lesson, we could call it, or this metaphor, we could call it, of David's life and of Miriam's life, of leaning into these particular logistics, of leaning into these particular circumstances and coming back deeply to what is here and what is present. We will trust ourselves over everything, and we remember what our souls are informing us is actually here, over what everyone else thinks we should be doing, and even over what we may think that we should be doing in this particular system based on the trend analysis of what we've done before, of what people are doing, or of what we've read online. Coming back to the deep soul knowing and prioritizing that over everything. That's the way forward. And that is always the quickest path forward. What David is communicating to me in this moment, kind of going back and forth more silently and internally during this transmission, he's pulling up ideas and sharing stories. And what is here is this idea that Miriam was telling him from a woman coach that is in business and shares a lot about the soul perspective in business. And one of the things that she was saying was this idea that so often people wait to do the thing. So often people wait to build the business they really want to build. And they end up building businesses, or they end up doing things that aren't actually the thing that they want to be doing, or feel as though they, in essence, should be doing in that time. And how she doesn't believe in doing things simply to get to an end goal so that you can start a new thing. She just believes in doing the thing. And it's very similar. It is a very, very similar idea to this. It's getting back into the soul's deepest knowing. Even when other individuals are pressing in, even when other ideas are pressing in, this is the day-to-day of the second paradigm. It is trusting the knowing over everything else. Now, we could call this the log cabin lifestyle,
right?
Where you imagine an individual retreating to a log cabin, finding that inner truth and trusting that, or writing a book and pulling through ideas or being with ideas that are at the core of their essence and then coming back and integrating into society. We could call this the log cabin lifestyle. But it is very important to remember that this is a metaphor and that this is not the actual reality. Because this isn't about going to a log cabin and finding that peace. It is about going to the internal log cabin and finding that truth that is always there, regardless of the environment, regardless of what other people are telling you, regardless of what other people may think is true, regardless of what your brain may be doing or what your emotionality may be firing in that moment. What would it be like to live the log cabin lifestyle? Where you were trusting that inner guidance and knowing every single step of the way. And so for David and Miriam this week, it was coming back to their log cabin, coming back to their internal log cabin to isolate their decision-making from the world around them. To isolate their decision-making from all of the external input that was just noise. Because when you're not trusting your soul truth or you aren't in touch with your soul truth, getting a lot of external input is very valuable because you get more perspectives on something that your brain hadn't seen before. When you're making a very logical brain biological decision, leaning in to find other individuals to essentially get more information so that your brain can make an even grander observation and come out with an even more dialed observation of the way the reality works day to day. When you're making a biological decision, it makes sense to pull the individuals around you. But when you are trusting your soul and following the energy of your soul, and when you have access to your own intuition, then listening to the others around you is just white noise. It is just distraction. And so this is where the log cabin lifestyle comes into play, and this is where finding your internal log cabin and trusting the guidance that resides within becomes one of the most important things about living within this second paradigm, about living within this larger organism that is physical, yes, because you are all a part of the same planet, all the same matter, but is also etheric in nature, because we are all, in essence, the same consciousness. We are all God. And when we're making decisions from God, from the totality of all wisdom and knowledge, and from our truest soul essence, when we are playing out what we came here to play out, all the other input from the environment and from the biology that was birthed from the environment It's all noise. So we invite each and every one of you this week to explore this idea of what it would be like to find this internal log cabin. And to make decisions from that internal log cabin. Not to retreat necessarily, not to go on vacation to find that, but to be able to trace and find that internal peace and knowing in your day-to-day life, even when you're talking with other individuals, even when you are out on a bike ride or out for a drive or going to get coffee or going to get lunch or talking with someone in a business meeting. How can you find that inner truth, that inner log cabin, and trust the truth that resides within over everything else? What would it look like to not only find, but to trust that internal log cabin? And to test, explore the possibility of trusting that above all else and just seeing what happens. Because as David is quickly realizing, as Miriam is quickly realizing, as many individuals across the world are quickly realizing, that log cabin truth is the quickest path forward every single time, and everything else is a distraction, slows down your soul's truest path, creates frustration, anxiety, disease, and has taken a lot of individuals off of their soul's path and into deep, dark states of depression. Many individuals have died before they found that log cabin truth, before they trusted the messages of their soul, before they began to walk the path that they actually came here to walk. And that is one of the biggest tragedies of planet Earth at this time, but it is in an absolutely avoidable path. It is absolutely possible at this time, even more so than it ever has been in your human history, to tap into your intuition and tap into all that you came here to tap into, because your bodies are more attuned and more evolved for your intuition and for generating understanding, being with your soul's deepest truth. Your bodies are more evolved to articulate your soul's greatest path. And in that, you have the ability to walk that path, to know that path, to understand that path on a deep, deep, deep level. And when that happens, things go smoother, things go faster. And from our perspective, the more individuals that are able to accelerate their timelines, the more that Earth's timeline accelerates. And the more that Earth's timeline accelerates, the greater the chances continue to grow every single moment that Earth will become all that everyone on this planet wants it to be. Peace, harmony, fairness, abundance, joy, bliss, deep truth, alignment, community, love. So with that, thank you for tuning in. It's a pleasure as always. We are looking forward to continuing to transmit, and we are looking forward to continue to explore this co-creation with David and with you of what it looks like to document this journey along the way. And for us to be able to inform this larger collective and to inform you using some examples throughout this. This is a very fun experiment on our end as well, to be able to continue to explore and ping and lead David throughout his intuition, to be able to continue to articulate what's here. It is a beautiful, beautiful synchronicity and divine appointment that we are continuing to be in here with David to bring through all of these messages. And as always, it is an absolute pleasure to watch the messages come through, to be recorded, and to now be gracing your ears. Your very, very receptive heart continues to bring us joy. Thank you for all that you are and all that you are becoming. And we will speak to you at a later time. Farewell. I think every time I come out, I say, wow, I love this and I love this work. And that's the first thought again. Coming back, landing here, remembering that I'm shooting this, remembering that I was just bringing through and channeling and tracing all of those words and articulations, kind of coming back and landing in this reality and my normal perception and my normal states of consciousness. I'm in awe every single week. It's a very new idea for me that this is about me sharing my story as much as it is about me continuing to learn and articulate these messages. And of course it is. You know, when I zoom out and I look at what is the best way to bring through a message that has to come through progressively, well, it's to bring through the message and to also share the entire journey of the person who's going through it. Of course. But from my own internal perspective, that isn't always obvious. And it's the realizations like that that I just continue to love so much. And as always, it is just such a pleasure to be doing this and to be here. And thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for subscribing, for telling your friends about this. I receive messages of people who are like texting the podcast to their friends. And for those of you who are doing that and sharing this, thank you so much. It is such a pleasure to be transmitting this. But I think as Bergil put it right at the end, your receptive hearts just continue to bring me so much gratitude. And I feel that through him too, you know, that continues to bring him so much gratitude to know that these messages are coming through and that I'm not the only one learning from them. It brings me more joy than anything else on the planet does. And I think that's why I'm doing this. You know, that's why this is my life's path. But regardless, thank you so much for your receptive heart, for your receptive ears. And I will see you next week for another episode of The Highlight Reel. Bye.